humans don't rise from the dead. And that seemed to me to be what they were saying to end the argument. Humans do not rise from the dead. And we actually know that to be true. You know that to be true. Some of you have witnessed and been a part of someone who has gone and left this life. And you haven't seen them come back. Would it be any different for the disciples? I wonder what they were thinking as they saw Jesus die on the cross, as they saw him suffer and die, and truly they saw him die. And I wonder if they thought, well, what happens now? Jesus had prepared them, you know. He'd actually said a few things to them before he left. And he said this. Thanks, Joe. After they had gathered again in Galilee, this is before he died, Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of the enemies. He will be killed, but on the third day he'll be raised from the dead." He told them that he was going to die. He told them that he was going to be killed. That is what he set them up to expect. But then he says in this statement, "But on the third day, he'll be raised from the dead." And I wonder as he said that, if he thought, well, okay, look, something bad's going to happen, but don't stress, because on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. Something no human being has ever done before, but I'm going to rise from the dead. They knew him. They trusted him. They had walked the roads of Jerusalem and Israel with him for 3 years. They had seen him eat and drink. They had heard him teach. They had seen him teach to the religious people of the day and confound them with his wisdom and the power and authority of his words. They knew him. They knew what he said was true. They knew that he wasn't a liar. So they see this and they hear this statement. Surely they believed. Surely at this point they thought, well, when I see him die, I know it's only going to be for 3 days. But I've tricked you, Inglewood Church attendees, this morning, because I haven't included the last little bit, which was their reaction. And the disciples were filled with grief. They'd just been told he was going to rise from the dead. But their reaction was one of grief. Because why? Because all they were focusing on was the first bit of what he said, that he was going to be killed. That he was going to be killed, that he was going to die. That's the only bit they really could focus on. The next bit, the bit about him rising from the dead, they didn't even acknowledge that, see that, understand that. For some of you today, you would say to me, Mark, Jesus was a good teacher. He said some good things. But you wouldn't actually say you believed in him. And the idea that he rose back from the dead... Well, no one does that. No one does that. I've never seen that myself. And you expect me to believe that? Some of you here this morning would say, look, I'm here. I'm at church. It's the right thing to be at Easter. I'm here to come with a friend or a family member, or someone's asked me along, so I'm here. I want to do the right thing. But if you're really honest with me, you'd say, I don't really believe. I don't believe in God, and I don't believe this message of Easter. It's a good story, but it's not really true. And even if it is true, it hasn't changed me. I really want to challenge you this morning. Who is Jesus, and was he good? Was he right? Did he tell the truth, or did he tell a lie? Did he tell a lie? On the third day, he'll be raised from the dead. After he died, in the in-between moment, we have various reactions. But as Peter is watching him being led to the cross, remember the story of Peter the disciple? He was standing there warming his hands around the fire. And his reaction may be just like your reaction. He denied Jesus. He said no. And does he really deny him? Well, he sort of does. This is what he says. Peter swore. A young girl had come up to him and said, "Hey, Peter, you knew him. Surely you knew Jesus. Surely you know who he is." And he swore. A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man you're talking about. And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me. And he broke down and wept. Some people in this building, if someone came up to you, you may have been brought up in the church. You may have heard people speaking from the front for years. You may have heard the message. You may even have a Bible at home and you may have read it sometimes. But if someone came up to you and said, do you believe in Jesus? You say, no, I don't. No, I don't. Look, he was a good fellow, but I deny him. And you would say, no, I don't believe. So some people are going to react this way. And for some of you here this morning, you've been hurt by the church. And people have said things to you in church, and maybe a minister or a priest or a pastor or someone, a Sunday school teacher, has said something or done something to you that they shouldn't have. And so you've turned your back on Jesus and you've turned your back on the church and you deny him. Is that you? Do you deny him? He's not real. The second reaction is from Thomas. And we all know doubting Thomas. Jesus had actually risen from the dead. We've had a little bit of the story. And Thomas is told by the other disciples. He's told by the people that he had traveled with for years, by his mates. His mates said to him, Jesus has risen from the dead. His mates had gathered around and said, you won't believe it. We've seen the empty tomb. We've seen Jesus. He's alive. He's defeated sin and death. We can't believe it. We do believe it. And Thomas doubts, even though the people that he trusted told him. And why did he doubt? One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, my fingers into them, and place my hand in the wound on his side. Unless I see it for myself, I don't believe it. How many people would say that today? I haven't seen Jesus. I don't know this Jesus you're talking about. It was a good story, but I haven't seen it. There's no scientific proof for it. So therefore, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it for myself. That may actually be you. You doubt. You may have heard the stories from a very young age, but you doubt. Unless I see it for myself, I won't believe. Was there anyone of the disciples in that in-between moment before Jesus was shown to them? Was there anyone that showed any belief? Maybe the women who were there, maybe they showed something. And this may be for you, because as you're going to see in a minute, they didn't really know what to expect. They didn't really even know what to believe, but they did act. They did something. The women in the story went to Jesus. Even though he was dead and in the tomb, apparently, they got up and they went to him. Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away this stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. They went to the tomb to anoint Jesus. They loved Jesus. They wanted to put the spices on him and the burial preparation for him. They went to the tomb. They got up early in the morning. They got out of bed. They got out of bed, people. Why would you get out of bed if you knew there was a big stone in front of the tomb? Why would you do that? There's soldiers there. There's a massive stone in front of the tomb. You have no hope of seeing Jesus. None. He promised a whole heap of stuff and he hasn't delivered. He's dead. I saw him die. I saw him bleed. Why would I bother getting out of bed? I haven't seen anything. I haven't experienced anything. Why would I get out of bed? Why would I go to the tomb? Because the tomb is locked. I want to think that there was something inside of them that even with a listen, for those of you who doubt and those of you who deny, you listen. I want to think there was something in them that said, I am going to go anyway. I'm going to go anyway, despite everything and all the evidence and everything that looks against it. I'm going to go and I'm going to act anyway. There is something in there that says to me, I've got to go. I've got to go to Jesus. And the story goes on. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there, puzzled, two men, angels, suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified, and they bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you. As you and if you decide to move towards Jesus, even with your doubt, and even with not having all the facts, and even with not having all the proof, there's an incredible blessing in that for you. And I want to say to you that if you move towards Jesus, you will find Jesus. You will find him. And sometimes it's just a tiny mustard seed. Sometimes it's the smallest little bit of faith, the smallest little thing you've got inside your heart where you act upon it. You say, maybe this is true. Maybe this is true. Maybe this is what I need to do. Maybe Jesus wasn't lying. Maybe he's not a liar. And they went to the tomb and they were incredibly rewarded as they acted in that such a small way. And then Mary at the tomb, standing outside crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked inside. There's grief there. You know, as human beings, we can have a whole range of emotions. But for her, she wanted to linger in the grief. But at the same time as she grieved, I can't help but think she was starting to believe as well. And I can't help but think that there was something inside of her which says, I know I've seen him die, and I know I've seen all the promises I thought evaporate, but maybe there is some truth in this. And she sat there and she wept and she grieved. And some of you today in this building, you want to believe in God, but you've been disappointed and you've been let down, and someone has let you down. You may even feel God has let you down, and you're struggling. You're actually struggling with your beliefs. You say, I don't believe. Is that actually true? Or you're actually struggling right now, and you actually want to believe. You know, as Mary stood there and she grieved, a man came across and she thought he was the gardener. She says, I want to know where my Lord is. Have they taken my Lord? Where is he? And she didn't recognize that, in fact, the gardener was Jesus. And she didn't recognize he was Jesus until he spoke her name, Mary. And suddenly she recognized it was the Lord. Can you imagine in that moment what she was feeling? You just can't imagine it. She's been weeping and grieving and wondering what's going to happen. And suddenly a miracle occurs and she recognizes the voice of Jesus calling her name. I believe that can happen for you too. I believe if you move towards Jesus with all your doubt, with everything that's inside of you, he will actually call out your name. And I actually believe you will hear his voice, maybe not audibly, maybe not in some great thing, but inside your heart, even right now, you are sensing inside of you an emotional reaction, a heart reaction, a spiritual reaction, because he is calling your name this morning. And he's calling you to surrender and to give your life to him. He's calling you to say, you know what? I do accept that God is real, and I accept what he's done for me, and I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. I do actually believe. God is actually calling. You can sense that in your heart right now. But here's my challenge to you. God, because we weren't there. We can't put our hands into the hands of Jesus, and we can't feel the nails, and we can't feel his side. You can't do that. But God is calling you this morning to believe and to act, even though you can't see. He's calling you to believe and to act, even though you can't see. Can we just close our eyes, everyone? Everyone in the room, just have an attitude of prayer right now. Lord, I believe there is some people here this morning that may very well give their lives to you for the first time this morning. And they may very well believe. They haven't seen with their eyes. They haven't put their hand into your hand. But right now they sense the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And there's a reaction in their heart, in their mind, in their emotions. And Lord, right now you are calling them to believe and to act, even though they haven't seen. And I remember those words you said to the disciples, Lord Jesus. You said, blessed are those who believe, who haven't seen. But right now, Lord, you are speaking to some people in this building, perhaps even to some people at home watching online. And Lord, you want them to give their lives to you. If you are a Christian in the building right now, I'd ask you to start praying for those that are here this morning, for those that God is calling, who haven't yet fully given their lives to you, Lord Jesus. I want the Christians right now to start praying, because we are in a battle, and we want the Holy Spirit to have freedom to work here today.